Grant Tavener from Lincoln University in Christchurch, New Zealand.
How are emotions an important part of playing games?
Okay, well, in terms of studies, this field is very new. There's not actually a lot of empirical research into the role that the emotions play. Most of the work that I'm doing is an adaptation of work that has been done on the emotions, so about the emotions themselves. The exception to that is the work that has been done on the role of aggression in video gaming. So that's driven by the moral concerns about what sort of effects are video games having on youth, and do video games cause children to become aggressive? I think there have been some meta studies done. One recent study in Australia, which concluded that there wasn't really an effect on aggression in children. But if you go to some of the American studies, they're quite positive that there is a result on the aggressiveness of children. The big difficulty really is that games are fictive things. Okay, they're fictional works. And so you've really got to ask, well, is what is going on in the playing of the game really aggression? Because gamers are quite aware that what they're dealing with is a fictional world. And so, you know, what they're doing there, talking about a game like San Andreas, in which a player might, you know, kill people or do other abhorrent things, there's the question about whether that is really an aggressive or angry act. That's not the sort of thing that they would actually take from that game and do in the real world. So I don't think that you can legitimately say that that is an aggressive action.
Beliefs play an important part in our emotions. How does that work in a game?
The big problem is that you really need to go into a little bit of emotion theory here. Traditionally, emotions have been thought of as involving beliefs about objects. So sadness would involve the belief that you've suffered some loss. Anger would involve the belief that you've been wronged in some way. But in fictions, video games, those beliefs don't exist. The players really don't believe that what's going on the screen is an actual state of affairs. So if you're going to explain how the emotions occur and what they're caused by, you need some story about how cognitive states other than beliefs can actually cause emotions. So how do we pretend? How do we make believe that situations are real which aren't real? And how does this cause emotions? And so there's been quite a bit of recent work done in cognitive science on how make-beliefs can actually cause affective states like anger and sadness.
What sorts of emotions are most common in video games?
I think really I'd have to make reference to the type of games that I'm used to playing. And I think the prevalent emotions there are things like frustration, elation, surprise, fear, and in some occasions disgust. And the more reaction like startle. But I think video games do have the potential to cause other more social emotions, maybe more positive emotions. But the reason they don't is because of the demographic that video games actually have. Video games are mostly of interest to adolescent young men, children. And so, you know, the types of games you get, adventure games, shooters, driving games, do involve this frustration element, the scare element, surprise and that sort of thing. But it's conceivable that were they to break out of that current demographic, video games could involve their players feeling social emotions, so love, envy, guilt, shame, those sorts of things that are directed at other people and not just frustrating situations like losing a car race or being shot in a shooter.
Do you think games have values, and do games developers have values?
Yeah, they must. Games must have values, but that's probably the vexed question here, is what effect do fictional values have on real values? So if you take a game like San Andreas, which is, I guess, the largest, biggest game in the world last year, the fictional values involved are all pretty abhorrent. So the main character, Carl Johnson, gets to pick up prostitutes and murder them, kill lots and lots of people. So it's clear that in the fictional world, the values are abhorrent. But if you look at the way that people react to those fictional values, it's not clear that they're adopting those values. So the biggest response that people have to San Andreas, I think, is one of a humorous response. So we laugh at what Carl Johnson gets up to. The question is, does that reflect the values that the player has? You know, does the player really hold the value that life is worthless and, you know, you can take it at will? And arguably it doesn't. Arguably, I think that humorous reaction is forthcoming because the player realizes that what they are doing is actually taboo. So it's the ability to play out this role that would just be, you know, awful in the real world, but in the fictional world you can laugh at it because it's offline. It's not something that you're really that will really have the consequences that it would have in the real world. I'm not sure that you can equate values that are illustrated in a fictional world of a video game with the values the player actually has in the real world.
So a lot of people are concerned with the values that are being portrayed in these games and maybe encouraged. But is it really not too different to the cartoons, Tom and Jerry, and shows like that they were quite happy to watch?
No, I think that's exactly what's going on. In a lot of the games, the violence is very cartoonish. You can actually go further back than cartoons. In the 80s, I think it was satanic music. It got a really bad rap. The 90s, rap music, gangster rap. Lately, it's been video games. There are some really violent Shakespeare plays, and I'm sure they weren't particularly popular with the moral prudes in Shakespeare's day.
So do you think games have a potential for social good?
The present games, I'm not so sure. It seems to me that people play games for fun. You know, it's another vexed question. Do people really learn from fictional works? Or do they, you know, do they like the types of fictional works that just repeat their preconceived ideas anyway? So, you know, it's not really clear that anybody actually has their opinions changed by a fictional work, because they don't enjoy the types of fictions that disagree with them and that actually could teach them something.